ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look. Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them. And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week I have the beginning of a two-part series with Dallas Surf, and my guests are Gavin and Tony. And I won't say too much, but I will remind everyone that I did record this back in November, so there's a lot of changes that's happened, and there's a lot of things that will need to be looked up and be seen. But majority of the information's there is correct and accurate, and I will have everything in show notes for everyone to go back to look things up. For their website, their communications, for their social medias and all that stuff. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
Hi, I'm Tony Cavall, Executive Director of Dallas Surf. Been in this position since we founded the club about 4 years ago and got to surf. I grew up playing in Dallas-Fort Worth, recreational in Irving, club in Dallas, played Classic League when there was only one league to choose from, not 50. Realized probably pretty quick into high school that although I was a good player, I wasn't the level that was going to take me to where I wanted to be. And at 15, started coaching my first team. Really enjoyed that and kept playing. Played club in college. So continued playing, played adult leagues, everything else, but really once I got into coaching, it became my passion. I did, when I got into my 20s, had other interests as a young person in their 20s and went away from it for a while. And then once I hit my 30s, came back to coaching and have done it ever since. I coached for Defeaters prior to them becoming DKSC. Great club. Really like the people there. Still close with a lot of them. Had the opportunity, met Adrian with Solar and had the opportunity to go over there and coach a couple of top teams and took that opportunity and learned a ton. And with probably most coaches and me for sure, you always look at how you could do it better or how what opportunities there are that maybe you'd like to do. And so when I had the opportunity to get in on the ground floor with Dallas Surf, I jumped at it and have gone from a small club of 20 teams when we started to we're at 90 now, 3.5 years in. And really just have had another business that we sold, have poured everything into Dallas Surf now. And this is what we do. And I have big plans and I'm excited to talk about today and talk a little bit about our club and some of the great people we have like Gavin. And with that, I'll let Gavin give his intro.
I'm Gavin Moll. I've been coaching for probably 20 years now across multiple levels. Started in England, most with local clubs, universities, semi-pro teams as well. And then eventually working at Manchester City after I moved to Manchester. Then I moved back to America here in Dallas. I worked for Liverpool, FC America, obviously now BVB, Sting Soccer Club for 3 years. I think I was at Liverpool for 3 years and now at Dallas Surf. I came over, I don't know, 16 months ago, I think. Started as a juniors director, now the director of coaching. It's been an amazing experience. Absolutely love it at Dallas Surf. Tony is an amazing boss. My current role is basically overseeing player development pathway, designing our DNA curriculum, managing obviously the coaches, ensure consistency across the board. Just like I said, loving the role I have now and really enjoying my coaching.
Let's start off, where you all are based out of. Let's start there and then we can break it down by age groups and where you're at and with each age group.
Sure, I'll jump in. So from the beginning, our plan, just based on geography and what the DFW soccer scene looks like, and probably where Gavin and I live, was to base ourselves on the west side of the Metroplex. So we came in specifically with that idea, knowing if you look at the high schools that are winning state championships, the amount of kids that are driving 45 minutes to an hour to Frisco, Plano, Allen to train, we thought there was a real opportunity in the West. So that's where we planted our flag. So I would say if you ask where we're based, the Roanoke, Southlake, Trophy Club area, Keller is where the bulk of our teams are. That being said, we're close to 30 teams now in Plano and Wiley and don't see that slowing down. And we have a small presence in the South, like around Burleson as well. But really, truly, our density is in that North Fort Worth, Western Metroplex, 35-114 kind of area.
Awesome. So what age groups do you start coaching at? And what is the oldest team that you currently have?
Gavin, you want?
Our youngest team right now is U7. And then obviously up to the seniors. What's that, U19? U17, U18, U19 split in most leagues. Some leagues just, I think, are pure U18. But we will soon start new programs that are for the U5, U6 as well, which is something that will become pretty soon. But U7 is our youngest age that we've typically gone so far.
Awesome. So as we progress through this, do you have a club DNA or a club culture that you start with the younger age groups and you build upon through the clubs? Do you have, and with the same question, do you use the same coach from the same age groups or do you hand them off so they get different voices and different opinions of how to play throughout their playing career with surf?
We do have a set structure. Like I said, I've recently introduced that this year. The main goal is that we have a system in place throughout every age group for player development. One simple structure throughout every age. The design, the details change, but it's a similar structure. The only difference from U7 to U19 is the type of exercises we use, the numbers involved, and then the detail the coaches will give. That's to hopefully, again, it's recent and it's not perfect yet, but hopefully eventually people will know it's a Dallas Surf team by watching them and we can see a true style that we play. The only difference is the U5, U6, when that comes in, their session structure will be different. It's different from the initial structure.
And Gavin's done a fantastic job. He's actually built the DNA from the ground up. We've got a coaching resource that's online that they can go to that really walks them through everything, age specific, exercise specific. And as Gavin said, from U7 through U19, you're following the same mindset. It's just maybe you're adding more numbers, more space, things like that. But he's rolled it out this year, and I think it's very different than maybe what a lot of clubs do or a lot of the coaches that have come to us from other clubs are used to. And it can be a struggle. Keep telling Gavin it's not going to happen overnight because it's a fantastic program, but we firmly believe that's the way. And that's one of the things we came in initially with the plan is our teams have to have a plan. It's not, we don't want to be 90 teams in silos where each coach just does their own thing and we all wear the same uniform. We actually want a structure and a philosophy that runs throughout the club. And Gavin's done a fantastic job introducing that. And we feel like over the next year or two, as we continue to integrate it and fully flesh out what we want to do, that you'll be able to watch a team play and say that's a Dallas Surf team.
I like hearing that. I feel most clubs have, in the Metroplex, especially the large ones, looking at, I won't give out names, but the top five clubs in the Metroplex, I'll just say it that way. A lot of them you can go in and they'll have a DOC that has their own philosophy, and everyone underneath that DOC will have the same playing style, but it's not found through the whole club.
Right.
So when you're talking about this and the coaching have the resources, do you guys have like a game plan for the year or a yearly objective for the coaches to work through, or a game plan for them to work with? I know there's a club here in the Metroplex that goes through like an 8-week cycle. And so any coach can fill in and they know exactly where they're at in the 8-week cycle, and the coaches can fill in with no issues. Are you planning on taking something along that approach then with this, Gavin, or is it going to be our general philosophy?
Our approach is a little bit different to answer the objective part. This year, because we're rolling this out, it's brand new. It's, as you've just alluded to it and Tony said, it's very different to what I think most clubs do. I think, I'll just speak on us, but we believe that there has to be a system in place for true development. You can't have every coach doing one thing and another coach doing another thing and et cetera. And that's our main goal this year, is to first start with the education, which we've started a few months ago, the re-education, to make sure that they understand it and can follow it and really can deliver it, put the DNA that's on paper into the sessions, into their game management. And that's our main objective this year, is to make sure that we start to implement this as a club-wide system. As Tony said, it's not easy. It's not perfect. It probably never will be perfect. It's a hard task to get to. But that's our main objective, is to make sure that we minimums, everybody's following the structure, they understand the DNA, and parents start to see that as well. In terms of like how the periodization works, I feel that it's very hard to get coaches to do a specific thing at a specific time every week in blocks. And because of all this new stuff, I don't think the buy-in would be as good if we did it that way. Not saying it's the wrong way to do it or ours is the right way, but because we have one very simple structure and everybody knows their team better than I know their team, it's like Tony said, we have 95 teams now. So it's impossible to get around to everybody every week. Anybody can jump into anybody's session and the structure is the same. Doesn't matter what numbers you get at practice. It's designed in a way that's so simple. I could come in and jump in a session with any team and they could understand the structure and the flow of it. But the sessions they work on, that the coaches get flexibility and a framework of what they choose to do based on what they need to do with their teams and what the age groups are and what their key targets are for the age groups.
And I'll add to that, Ian, just for maybe a little bigger picture. Again, it was always a 5-year plan when we started the club, and we're about 3.5 years in, and getting great people was year two. Once we figured out what we were doing was year two and year three, and bringing in people like Gavin and Nick, our technical director, and we've got some really strong people. We do feel like, you know, some of the things, even the question about if teams move to different coaches, I think most of us believe that's probably the best method. It's not always what happens here in DFW. But we're not there yet. We are definitely working on, just like we expect our teams to work off of a plan, the club certainly is. It's not there, but we think if we continue on the path, like I said, with our plan that we started with, once that's fully in place, that, you know, we feel like we will be able to get to where our coaches, like any business, if the coaches come in and they don't like the way they do things, they probably won't stay very long, and that's okay. It's not going to be for everyone, but what we want to know is that the coaches that are here believe in what we're doing, buy into what we're doing. We have a pretty strong culture of collaboration with our coaches. We have meetings every week where we invite every one of our coaches to the office to discuss what we're doing. And the more buy-in we get like that, what Gavin's trying to install just gets easier and easier. But we're still getting, you know, the right people on the bus to make sure that we've got a team that can accomplish what we're doing, because we know it's different than probably what most clubs do.
I feel most clubs, in my opinion, there's very few. Like, only reason I know this because I've talked to enough of them now that sure. Some clubs, it's a top-down culture and it trickles down. And the farther away from what I would call the mecca for the club, the less philosophies followed. Or some clubs have, I'll use FC Dallas because everyone knows their model, especially with their higher end competitive teams. I'll probably say their top three teams in every age group. If you go from the MLS side, they change coaches. They're supposed to be changing coaches every 2 years, but that doesn't happen if they have coaches come and go so frequently. And sometimes teams will have the same coach 4 years in a row because whatever the reason may be, because a coach left that was at that level and they promote this new coach to go coach that age level. So I understand that it's never perfect. It's just trying to work within the model here. I always hate April through June in the DFW area now, because this is when you see the coaches shuffle, as I call it. And sometimes it's a great thing for clubs and sometimes it just guts them. Get, like you said, not every club is the best mold or best support system for a coach. And I feel a lot of times that's when you see it, the biggest shuffle, and it gives clubs a chance to readjust and find their center again, so to speak. So with your coaches, I'm not going to focus more on the coaches right now. How do you evaluate your coaches then and help them, give them feedback, constructive and positive feedback on what they're doing? Is this a yearly process? Is this on a monthly basis? Is this on a monthly basis, or is this just whenever they come and ask for help and for feedback?
I said, like, rolling all this stuff out, we have a few areas that we look at. Our main core value, I guess, as a club, we only have kind of one. It's called Kaizen, which is a Japanese phrase for continued improvement, continuous improvement. And that's what we ask of all our coaches, and we look to see if they're doing that, if they're displaying behaviors that align with that improvement. Do they want extra coach education? Do they reach out to senior staff for support? Do they try and learn the DNA as much as possible? That's the main thing. Do they want to improve themselves, which in turn then improves their players? Better coaches equals better players. So that's the main thing for us. And then we look at their implementation of our DNA. Are they linking it to training? We ask them to submit sessions every month. Now, that's a new thing we've introduced that allows us to collaborate more. And also the tool we use, that I can give direct feedback and leave comments, chat to the coaches about it. Then we look at effectiveness in, like, their player development and their team as a whole. And then also how they communicate as well, their communication skills with their team. We do that basically because I'm fortunate that I can be on the field and I go out to different locations. I work with the coaches. I go out and run sessions with them. I watch them, observe sessions. We do one-to-one feedback. Again, we see who's coming to the weekly meetings that we do. We see who's signing up for continued coach education programs. So it's all at the minute. No, because we're just introducing all this. We've got to try and make it a bit more structured, I think. But definitely there's a few areas that we do really try and help and support our coaches. And I think that shows within our retention, I think, is excellent, like our coaches, which is actually not necessarily the case in North Texas.
And we've got lines of communication groups that we have, and Gavin keeps a consistent flow of whether it be questions or circumstances, or like you said, meetings. And we get feedback from our coaches. You talked about the top down. We want them involved in what we do. I think I would, just based on what I know, Gavin probably spends more time with his coaches than maybe any DOC in the Metroplex. He's at practices every week. He's at games. I would say all of our directors, we hit a lot of games every weekend and support our coaches. But it will be formalized. But even without the formalization of the review process, I would say the amount of time that Gavin spends with his coaches gives him a very good idea of what's going on. He's great about it. He's not shy about giving feedback and helping them and coaching them.
Now, with the coaching education side, is this licensing or is this continuing education? Because there's two different sides. And do you help offset the cost, or do you already have some of this already structured in place for the coaching education that's outside of the licensing side?
We do. Like you said, it's two pieces from a licensing standpoint. Up to whatever license they want to do, we'll pay for half of it. We also set up a structure where, because like we just had a coach sign up for his B last week. I think it's $3,000. So we can do it a lot of ways. We try to make them not come out of pocket. But we'll pay for half. But even if we have to pay the $3,000, we'll do like a payroll deduction or something where we want them, if they want to improve themselves and raise their level of education, it only benefits the club. It benefits them. It benefits us. So whatever we can do, they get expensive. We can't afford to pay for full licensing for everybody, but we definitely have a process in place where we help them with that. And I would say for me, just as exciting on the other side is, and it's one of the big benefits of being part of SURF nationally, they provide a ton of education and we participate in every bit of it. We do monthly coaches calls. Gavin can talk here in a minute. He's on a weekly call now. The national technical director is Gary Kernin, who's a pretty well-known coach. We flew him in for a week earlier this year. He spent time, classroom time, on-field time with our coaches. We really believe in investing in our people. And the more that we can do that, to Gavin's point, it's going to help with retention. But the better coaches we have, the better our club's going to be. And ultimately, we have some pretty lofty goals for our club. So coaching education, getting them what they need is really one of our top priorities.
I, as a parent, I don't always look at licensing because I feel, as a parent, and I have a very warped view now because I talk to so many coaches, a lot of them just go through the course so they have it on paper. But right. A lot of times the real education comes from the clubs that they're in. It deals nothing with the licensing. And from the sounds of it, you guys are hitting it with both sides of it. It's the club education, club philosophy, and then getting the help through the licensing with help them bettering themselves with a different viewpoint or philosophy than the club, which is awesome to hear because honestly, that's something that is needing to happen. More and more clubs are realizing parents are expecting more out of them and not just here's my kid and here's a check for the season. It's here's my kid. What are you going to do with my kid now to help them develop? Because parents are becoming better educated or realizing there's more value than just dropping their kid off. And
yeah, Ian, you would have enjoyed our weekly meeting last week because we have coaches bring a topic each week. We ask a coach to bring a topic we can all discuss. And last week it was are licenses important or do licenses make you a good coach? And it was probably a 45 minute. It was great. It was in both sides. We got it from both sides and it got heated at some point and it was fantastic. And I think what we all fell on was no different than a college degree. Like you don't have to get one, but it is going, having that paper is going to open up some opportunities for you that not having it, maybe they don't. And for me, even more, it's probably because I heard this as a kid, like getting the college degree to show you can complete something. Like for us, if someone's willing to go spend 9 months now to get a B license, we feel like that coach is, it doesn't make them a good coach, but we feel like they're passionate and driven to improve themselves because it's not easy to do these now. They've made all of them much more difficult. So I think we fall on both sides. We agree that you don't need a license to be a good coach, but those programs do help to build really good coaches.
I think it's a foundation to build upon. I recently listened to this thing. They were talking about the issue in England, about the amount of pro licensed coaches they have in England versus Spain, and why Spain's so much more successful at getting more coaches to have their license versus England, which I thought was very interesting. And they had the technical director from, I think, the national side for England on, and they were breaking it down for him. And it was very fascinating because it pretty much comes down to cost, where Spain is more sponsored by the government and the federation within this, in the government, than the UK. And I'm like, I'm looking at the United States. I'm like, how many coaches have their B license or their A license or their pro license here in the United States? And how long does it take to get there? And that was the thing. It was, how do you break it down so these coaches can get more on the spot training? Because all of them are coaching. Why do they need to go spend 9 months going back and forth? Why can't they just be more like a, more of these online master programs? Is the way I looked at it, was you submit your findings and your works as you're going through the process and trying to find the curriculum along the way, which would help so many more coaches get through their licensing process. But that's a whole side tangent now. Let's get back to Surf. From the sounds of it, you guys are leveraging technology. I am a technology nut here. So it sounds like you guys are leveraging technology with your coaching side of everything, which is great to hear. So these programs, do parents have an access to understand any of it? Do you guys give a parent education on any of this? Or are you planning on to in the future, so parents have a general idea of expectations when they walk into the club, when you guys are leveraging technology with your coaches?
I'll let Gavin go through what he's done with technology, because as he says, he's a nerd and he's done a fantastic job with it. But parent education, I think we feel is our biggest opportunity, as that we haven't gotten it out there yet, but we feel like educating our parents, because we're doing things in such a different way than a lot of the other clubs, is probably our biggest opportunity. And there is a parent piece on our site that's coming up. But Gavin, why don't you talk through what the technology you've put in place, because it's fantastic.
I use that much technology. I forget what I use, but we have, as Tony said, I've built out a website, which is a coach's resource page. The parent one is in hiding right now, but hopefully that will eventually be a complete parent resource hub as well, with videos, articles, and take you through step-by-step of what we do with Surf. Other technology, we use a tool called Academy Soccer Coach as our session planning tool. Surf Nation, most clubs now use it. It's really simple and easy and effective. We have our own customized session planner, which is amazing. I don't think any other club has anything like it. It's fantastic. I'm trying to, whatever technology we use. We probably use a lot, but
we have a Technique, the club Technique agreement.
Yeah, we have Technique is the technical training app we use. Eventually, the plan is to, again, bake that into the academy curriculum. We've set things that players should be doing and using it. Right now, we've just rolled it out. Coaches send out tasks on it. Not every team is on it, I don't think, at the minute. But I think we have about, 50 teams on it, Tony, I think.
Yeah. I think the main thing is Gavin has built a place that's going to house everything. And as he said, we've really focused on the coaching piece first, because we need to get that out to those guys. But there's a manager piece. There's a parent piece. We will have one central location where they can go to get everything online, which will probably learn just about anything they need to know about our club.
And I will say the implementation of our DNA, I think that's the first thing that parents need to know in any club. That's what they should ask when you go to tryouts or go to whatever, and they should say, what's your development plan from a player? What's the structure? What's in place? What's the system? And honestly, if they can't provide it, they're not doing it. And if they can provide it, then you need to be able to see that in action with the coaches. And that's what our goal is. One, when we do have a parent meeting about this, we'll do this one in person for sure. And people can join on Zoom or something as well. But the goal really will be so parents know what they should see. It's an education thing for them as well, but also it's an accountability thing for our coaches. If the coaches are not doing things correctly, now parents know what they should see, because I think the problem really is that a lot of parents, even a lot of coaches, don't necessarily know what you should see or what should be taking place. So I think if we can link the two together, I think it only bodes well for us as a club.
I like hearing that. And now Let's switch over to the most important side of this whole conversation, is the player-centric and parent-centric side of this conversation. So what leagues do you guys participate in, and what levels do you plan on participating within those leagues?
Yeah, this is definitely one of the topics that I feel is more adult-centered. Not many kids come up to me and ask me about leagues. It's definitely more of the adults. We offer a variety of leagues, right, and girls. We offer the majority of leagues that are available in DFW. So if we start with academy, so U6 through U10, there's a lot of leagues now across DFW. And, you know, honestly, they can all be great. They can all be not great. At this stage, the specific league doesn't really matter. It's just a tool to help players experiment. It's a tool to apply what they're learning in training. And that's the key point, right? The league is not what you're paying for. You're paying for the coach, and you're paying for the environment that the coach and the club creates. And the reason why I say that is because these are some of the most important years for development, right? You should be choosing based on the coach and the culture of the club, as I said, not based on what the league is. If someone's overselling the league to you at any age, I'd question how much they trust their coaching and their ability to develop your child, if I'm honest. So once you move into select soccer, U11 for U19, the leagues can start to matter a bit more, but it still depends on your goals, right? So hopefully you've had a strong foundational coaching by then, and now you're looking at the level of competition and what kind of challenge is appropriate for your child. The landscape's wide, so I'd like to frame it as local, regional, and national. So if we start with the boys, local leagues, Boys Classic League is still a very strong competitive option. There's also good United leagues, there's Plano Premier League, there's a lot of leagues now. All can be good options, just depends on your child, right? Then we move on to regional leagues. I categorize them as where it's mostly Texas-based travel, 2 or 3 out-of-town trips per year. This year, we're excited to offer 2 new platforms for the boys, who are both regional, national platforms. So we have Texas 2 and USYS National League now, which known as FDL locally. So we're excited to add that to the boys and shows the progress we're making. So FDL is a regional league with a national postseason pathway. It's the highest tier of USYS soccer nationally. So proud to offer that opportunity. Texas 2 is an independent league built for mostly MLS Next club second tier, and now add in strong select clubs like ourselves from outside of the MLS Next universe. You know, our long-term club goal is to gain entry into MLS Next. We see that as the best long-term platform for our boys. So again, we have very good options for local, regional, and then national pathway. On the girls' side, I don't want to repeat myself, so the academy year is exactly the same as the boys. The league doesn't matter. The coach and the environment does much more. Once you get into select, again, similar for the local options. So Girls Classic League is another fantastic option, as well as the other league I mentioned. They do a fantastic job locally still. Then for regional, again, we have FDL. It's a great platform. High-level games each week, strong exposure events at older ages, a true postseason pathway for those who earn it. Doesn't always get the credit it deserves, unfortunately. A really good option for the girls. And then obviously at the national level, we set a goal a few years back to gain entry into Girls Academy. We felt like that aligned with how we want to support our players and for those that are really serious about the game. So we're very excited to be accepted into that this year. They actually launched a second tier as well. So we have GA and GA Aspire. Both offer national pathways, but Aspire is more of a regionalized to reduce travel. GA is our top platform. It's for players who are 100% committed to college soccer, to playing at the highest level. Their events consistently draw hundreds of college coaches, and look at their record. It speaks for itself in terms of girls committed into college and then moving on to higher levels past that as well. I know I've kind of gone on a little bit here, but we just mentioned parent education. I feel this is so important because the leagues do matter, but only when we frame them the right way. The most important thing is that players are placed on teams that match their current development stage, their mindset, their commitment, where the challenge is appropriate, right? Too much challenge and a player can lose confidence and get stuck. Too little challenge and they won't grow. That applies to your team, your training, your league, any league can be a great environment or they can be a poor environment. Doesn't matter the age, level, gender. It all depends on the player in front of you and what they need right now. You get told a lot, you have to be in a top league at 8, 10, 12 years of age. That's simply not true. You need to be with a great coach, great teammates. And again, appropriate challenge is always the key to development.
It's nice to hear that you're just not diving into these leagues because you can put the patch on your kit and say, look at us. It is truly looking out for the well-being of the club and the players and the coaches, because at the end of the day, without the players, there's no club. And it really sounds like you guys are trying to focus on the player side as much as possible through your coaches and through your staff.
Hello, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the first part of this series with Gavin and Tony. There is so much information that we've covered so far, and there's even more in the next episode, so I won't say too much more. So, hey, everyone. If you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.